All right, good. Take your Bibles this morning, and we'll go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 2 this morning, and we'll go there this morning, and I'm glad Brother Richardson is doing better. We'll continue to pray that he'll even have a better week this week, and look forward to even next week. I've kind of thought to myself, if Brother Richardson decided to preach, even if he whispers, that's fine with me. I can hear him and understand, and look forward to that. And we'll have a good week. Look forward to next Sunday for that. And I know that he's, are you excited or nervous or both? And do continue to pray for him. I know you have, we have, and we need to continue to do that as well. Forgive me if I cough a little bit. I've been congested for a month now and kind of have this little nagging cough. And if I do cough, I apologize. I kind of get a little congested and a little choked sometimes when I'm trying to speak. But we'll make it through it. So in studying, I did take that in consideration. I tried to limit my notes a little bit, and we may get out a little early. But you know when a preacher says that, it's usually longer and not earlier. We'll see this morning. I do have a thought, though, I'd like to share with you. It is a thought that I've had over the past month or so, I guess. Our message this morning is going to be centered a little bit of what you would maybe consider as the Christmas story. I realize Christmas has come and gone. It's been the past now for a few days, but our subject this morning is going to take place a little bit after the birth of Christ, so kind of keep that in mind as well. But something that's kind of just always, as I read through the passage of the Christmas story, this thought has always been in my mind. And a little puzzling, I guess, on some of my thoughts here about the wise men that do come to see this young child that has been born, that being Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at that this morning, and I kind of give you a little bit of a thought. And then I want to also try to maybe apply it to an area of life this morning that I think affects each and every one of us this morning. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter number 2. We'll read several verses here. It's going to be a very well-known passage of Scripture that we'll read this morning. I'm going to read several verses here, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get right into our message this morning. We'll begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." So you know the story here, the wise men that are coming and traveling to see this one that has been born, that being Jesus Christ. Now, in most of our minds, we picture 3 of them. The Bible does not tell us how many there are. Now, the reason most believe it to maybe be 3 is because of the gifts that we'll find in a moment that will be presented. 3 of them will be mentioned here. It could very well be 3. It might have been 5. I do not know exactly how many wise men came that day, but we do know that we have some wise men here on their way to find this child, Jesus Christ, because they want to worship him and give gifts unto him. So we find them coming. Verse number 2, we find saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star," the Bible says, "in the east, and are come to worship him." So we find here in verse number 2 that they are led by a star. You know the story, a star in the sky. I don't know exactly what the star looked like, but it was at least big enough, bright enough, or different enough that they realized that the star was actually God leading them to where Jesus was. In fact, the name star is going to be mentioned 4 or 5 times in our passage that we're reading this morning, and that's what I want us to kind of focus on this morning. So we find in verse number 2, they're coming, and they come by the star in the east, and they are come to worship him. That is the purpose of why the wise men are coming. They want to find this babe, this young child Jesus. They want to worship him. So God helps them by placing a star in the sky to lead them to where Jesus is at. Verse number 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So we find here that Herod knows of the birth. Not only does Herod know of it, but also the scribes know of it. Others in Jerusalem were troubled as well. They knew of the news that had spread about the birth of Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, if you would. And so they know of his birth. They know that it is spread abroad news-wise that he has been born. And so we find now these wise men are trying to find their way. King Herod would like to know, even though he has a different alternative than the wise men. King Herod is not wanting to worship Jesus Christ. He's wanting to destroy Jesus Christ. So we go to verse number 4. When they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So it's amazing here that even King Herod finds out that the wise men have now come. They're searching for Jesus Christ. He'd like to know where he's at as well. Word is given unto him. Somehow the king knows that the wise men came by a star that appeared in the sky. He goes in verse number 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also, which was a lie. He never intended on worshiping Jesus Christ. The wise men were wise enough to understand that as well. Then verse number 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. So even after they meet with Herod, they go out, and yet the star yet once again leads them to the house, the Bible says here, where this young child Jesus Christ was. Verse number 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We find here, as I have described over and over here, these wise men very diligently doing their very best to find out where Jesus Christ is at. They don't know where he's at this point. They just know that God was leading them by a star to the actual town where Jesus was at. They get a little sidetracked because the king inquires of them and they're brought unto the king, and there's a period of time that goes by as they discuss a little bit about Jesus and how did you know he was here and about the star that led them to this point. And the king instructs them, if you find him, please send word to me so I can come and worship as well, knowing very well he had no intentions of ever worshiping Jesus Christ. After they leave the king, they go outside, and yet once again, there's the star that actually leads them to the very house where Jesus was. I think it would be safe to say this morning that God was very deliberately and very openly leading and guiding the wise men to where Jesus was at. It was very easy for them. They had no problems finding Jesus. God made sure they found Jesus, and he uses a star in the sky to lead these men. They go to the direct house. They go up to the door, knock on the door. They enter the house where Jesus was at. Now, here's my big question, and we'll pray and we'll get into our message. How is it nobody else sees the star? King Herod's looking for Jesus. King Herod even realized eventually that it was actually a star that led the wise men. And even after the wise men leave King Herod, God yet still uses the star, but nobody notices. Was it that only the wise men could see the star? I don't think so. But how is it, through all this, that out of all of mankind, only these wise men see the star? Let's pray and we get into our message. Heavenly Father, we love you. We do thank you for our time that we have this morning. We ask for your help and your blessing upon our time. And God, I pray that it will be profitable this morning for us to be in this place. And God, I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray that you teach us. I pray that you challenge us. I pray that you help us this morning. And pray, Lord, that you bless the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's always been on my mind. How is it only the wise men see the star? I've had preachers say that that's why they were wise. They were the ones that could see the star and nobody else could see the star. And I kind of disagree with that because I believe they were wise before they ever ventured out on the journey in the first place. So how is it that only the wise men see the star? I mean, God doesn't try to hide His leading and guiding in their life. God's very open and very public with His leading and guiding of these wise men. It's a star. It's a bright star. It's a different star. Maybe it's down lower than average. I don't know exactly how it looked, but it was something very different about this star that made it very easy for these wise men to follow this star along their long journey to the actual town where Jesus was at. And even after they get to the town, He actually uses the star, God does, to guide these men to the actual house where Jesus is at. And they come there, they enter the house, and you know the story here. They worship Jesus Christ. They give gifts unto Jesus Christ. And you'll find that even God, after that, speaks to these wise men through a dream and tell them to go a different way and tells them actually how to go home to avoid King Herod and getting into any trouble there with him as well. But it's very obvious here, God, all throughout this chapter, is speaking to these wise men. God is at work. God is very open in how He works. God's very open in how He guides and leads these wise men to Jesus Christ. In fact, the word star, I think I mentioned, is listed just in the first 12 verses, 4 or 5 times. The word star is mentioned over and over and over because it is the focal point of the entire chapter. And when I read the word star, I've underlined it in my Bible and I make sure I understand it's God at work. God is very bold in leading them. He's not trying to hide it from humanity. He's not trying to make it where only a few can come to see Jesus. In fact, God invites all to come to Jesus Christ. It wasn't limited just to 3 wise men. Anybody could have came that day and knocked on the door and requested maybe to see this child, Jesus Christ. But why is it only the wise men notice from day to day this star that's in the sky that's leading them? And how can it be that God can be so bold and speak so plainly and so openly before all of mankind, working in the midst of everyone, but yet only a very few notice the star in the sky? You see, this morning, you find your first GPS system right here. TomTom and Garmin have nothing on God Almighty. In fact, if I follow TomTom many times down the wrong path, I mean, TomTom can't even find my house sometimes. God knew exactly where Jesus was at. God knew exactly where the wise men were at. God knew that the wise men wanted to come to Jesus Christ, and God made a way for them to make it to Jesus Christ. How is it that only the wise men saw the star? As we study here, we find Herod the king did not see the star. And he's diligently trying to find Jesus Christ. You would think if anybody sees the star, it would have to be King Herod. He wanted to destroy Jesus Christ. He was afraid of Jesus Christ. He was afraid of what Jesus Christ would become. And he wanted to destroy the life of Jesus Christ. So out of everybody in mankind, you think surely King Herod could see the star. We find others that are mentioned in the chapter as well. Not only did Herod not see the star, Herod's men did not see the star. They weren't instructed to find Jesus Christ. They were to hunt him. They were to find him. They were to do everything they can to find this baby called, or this young child called Jesus Christ. And even Herod's men did not see the star. We find others listed as well. The chief priests are mentioned here. They didn't notice the star in the sky. We find also the scribes are mentioned in the Word of God. You would think the chief priests and the scribes, out of everybody, that they would see the star in the sky. But even they, as important people as they were in their day and age, still did not see the star in the sky. Only the wise men. Other living people in that area, for some reason, did not notice the star in the sky. From where the wise men leave their home, and as they travel to this area, and as they travel miles and miles and miles of journey along the way, even between home and where Jesus' house is at, it seems like even people in between didn't notice the star in the sky. But yet the wise men noticed the star in the sky. How is it that no one else noticed this star? Or could it be this morning that maybe people noticed the star but did not know what the star was? Maybe they just figured it's just awful bright today. Or maybe they thought during the night, you know, that star is extremely bright or it's extremely low. And I don't know. I don't have the answer here, but maybe some saw the star. Surely, no doubt, some saw the star but did not realize what they were looking at. Because this is no ordinary star. This is the actual star that the hand of God is moving. This is the actual star that God tells the star to go to the left and it goes to the left. It's the star when God tells it to go to the right, it goes to the right. If God tells it to stay still, it stays still. It is in direct obedience to the command of God as He guides the star, which actually leads the wise men to accomplish the ultimate goal, and that's for the wise men to get to Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me out of all of humanity that day and that night and however long it takes them to get there, out of all the people on planet Earth that day, nobody knows what's going on except three people? I mean, word had already spread that Jesus had been born and the news had spread. And I mean, it is the news of the day that this one has been born that claims to be the Savior of the world named Jesus Christ. And yet there's a bright star that's pointing kind of in that direction. Do you not think somebody would think, you know, this is a little bit, you know, kind of unique going on here? How is it? Nobody. No one. Not even King Herod, with all of his money and power and ability of life, didn't even notice the star. Or they maybe noticed the star, but did not realize what the star actually was. What is that star? We could describe it in many ways. Some may describe it as the guiding light of God. Some may even say it's the very fingertip of God. Some may say it's the actual breath of God moving and instructing these wise men. You see, this morning there's a lot of terms that we can place on what that star was, but the star was God working and leading these wise men to where Jesus was at. Everybody with me so far? But only three notice this star. God was at work. God was very open. God was very bold in His leading and working. And I think we could actually even say speaking to these wise men, leading them to Jesus Christ. How is that? And as I read and as I thought for the past several weeks about this one little thought here, And even, I think, might have been on Christmas Eve, I was listening to some Christmas music on the radio as I was going to my family's house and so forth. And I can't remember the name of the song. I wasn't even familiar with the song, but they were talking about the star that day. But nobody noticed. You mean to tell me God openly leading three wise men across the land and nobody else notices? Now here's how I think it applies to us even today. You see, this morning I think it's very possible, very, very possible, that God could actually be working today and we don't even notice. You see, it's possible that God could speak, lead, guide, and direct, and do a great work and not even realize what God is even doing in your own life. It is a thought this morning that is so large this morning to realize that the God of heaven, the God of this world, our Heavenly Father this morning could actually be working in our own life, but yet we live life in such a way that we go through our day and not even notice that He's leading in our life. You see, we look and it puzzles us that only three people could notice God leading these wise men with a star, but yet I think it's very possible, and how often could it actually be true this morning that in our own life God works and God does and God leads and God speaks and God performs miracles and God does amazing things in life, and yet we never notice the first time what God is doing. You see, God was at work and nobody noticed. God speaks and nobody hears. Three did. God uses a star that He formed with His own hands in the sky to lead three wise men, and nobody noticed. But yet, we look at that and we're puzzled, but yet we don't even notice in our own life how many times God has gone to work for us, and yet we never notice what God has done. You see, this morning, I personally believe that God is very alive today. I don't think God's dead. I don't think God's done. I don't think God is out of control. I believe this morning that God is as alive today as He was back at the birth of Jesus Christ. I believe God still works. I still believe God does miracles. I honestly believe this morning that God still works and God still leads and God still speaks. But I believe the problem today is that very, very few even notice that God is even around. How often do we live life and never give God a thought? How many days will we go through the day? We'll get up in the morning and we'll go and if you're at my house, we're going to make some coffee that morning to get our day started. And however you start your day maybe you go off to work or maybe your favorite show comes on in the morning or you watch news and whatever you do throughout the day. How many days have we lived in our life and never realized God is right there? And it's not hard to see. I mean, when you read the passage of Scripture, it's not hard to see. There's a star in the sky. But only three see it. King Herod didn't see it. Here's what's sad. The scribes didn't even see it. Even the religious leaders of that day never noticed that God was leading and speaking so boldly that even a child could see it. Or maybe they did see it, as I've mentioned, but they did not realize what they were seeing. You see, God works, and I believe that God works every day. I don't think God takes days off. I don't think God's on vacation. I don't think He takes days off on holidays. I think God works every day in my life, but how often do I go through the day and never notice what God has done? You see, this morning, I honestly believe that God's going to speak to everyone here this morning sometime throughout this day. Somehow, some way. And I believe that God is as alive today as He's ever been. I believe that it's exciting to serve God today. I don't think it's over with. I don't think it's finished. I realize we may live in the last days, but hey, it doesn't mean we give up today. And just because we may be living in the last days doesn't mean that God doesn't work anymore. And that God doesn't answer prayer anymore. And that God doesn't perform miracles anymore. And God doesn't do great works anymore. Hey, listen, dear friend, we treat God like God died last week. He's not dead. He's very alive. As alive today as He's ever been. Could it be that God is doing a great work in our life or in our midst today, and we don't even notice? We don't even notice. We don't even realize the blessings of the day. You know, we often sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Come on, how many actually do that? We don't count our blessings, we count our problems. We don't discuss about the good things that are happening in life, we tell everybody about the struggles we're having in life. Let me tell you why. We don't see God in our life. We see problems more than we do God in life. That's why we complain most of the time. That's why we very few times do we ever praise God, because we don't follow what we preach. We do not follow what we sing. We don't count our many blessings. We count our many problems. And yet God daily is still there. Hey, listen, He's still leading today. Listen, hey, He's still saving people today. He's still rescuing people today. He's rebuilding lives today. He's still in the saving business today. He's still on the throne today. And whether you want to admit it or not, God is still in control today. And He's like a big bright star in the sky, but nobody notices. We're all one track. We only see what we want to see in life. And you may feel like today there's a wall between you and God. And have you ever had times, and I think we've all been there, where it seems like in life or in a service or in church or in life in general, have you ever had times in your life where it seems like other people feel the presence of God, but I don't feel anything? How is it that one can see God and one cannot see God? Do you realize this morning that it is possible for one to sit in a pew on the same pew that you're sitting on this morning to actually see the presence of God, the working of God, the life of God, and can be as excited about the things of God, and somebody can be on the same pew and say, I don't see anything? How can it be? How is it that God can be working in the year 2016? God has given us another year. I remember when the year 2000 came around, we all thought life was going to end. That's 16 years ago. 16 years have passed by, and I'm telling you here this morning, God has done miraculous works in 16 years. You can take and look back in the last year and say, man, I don't see anything but heartache and problems and worry and difficulties and disease and death, and that's all I can see. And that's our problem this morning. That's what we see. We don't look back and see the presence of God, the hand of God, the leading of God, the actual leading and guiding of God in our life. That may be one of the biggest problems in Christianity today. We just don't see God. Why is that? May I remind us of why did God even do what He did in the first place? Do you realize the only reason God does all that He does in getting these wise men cross country to the actual town and then to the actual house where Jesus Christ is at is all found in verse 12? The Bible tells us in verse number 2, it says here, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and here's why they are coming, and are come to worship him. Do you see that? Jesus goes through all this problem, or God does all this for the wise men to get them to Jesus for the simple reason they just want to worship Jesus. Do you see what extent God will go for a believer? Do you realize how far God will go for you? I mean, we find here that it's amazing what God will do for those who simply want to worship Jesus Christ. Listen, if a person wants to worship Jesus Christ, God will find a way. There's no reason why we don't worship God. Boy, do we not use all the excuses in the world of why we don't serve God? Listen. Let me be very plain. There is not one excuse you could ever give of why you cannot serve God. Wise men are a long ways off from Jesus Christ. God says, that's not a problem at all. I'll just take my hand. Boom. I'll put a star right here. I'll move the star for you. All you've got to do is just follow. I'll do all the work for you. You don't even have to worry about where the next exit's going to be. You don't have to worry about whether to take a left or a right. It's all decided for you. God will direct you exactly to the house where Jesus Christ is at. Why? Because they wanted to worship Jesus Christ. We find they get there. The Bible tells us in verse number 11, they get there. They actually get into the house. The Bible tells us that they fell down. The Bible says in verse number 11, they worshiped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, then they present Him the gifts and so forth. And they spend time with Jesus Christ. You see, God will make a way for you, dear friend, when you want to worship Jesus. When you want to get to Jesus Christ, God will make a way. You see, if you don't get to Jesus Christ, dear friend, it's your fault, not God's fault. God will make a way when you want to get to Jesus Christ. God will make a way when you want to serve Christ. God will make a way when you want to trust Christ. God will make a way. God will go to work for you. He'll go to work on your behalf, and He'll guide you and lead you and speak to you and help you in any area of your life. But the problem is, we miss it so many times. So that brings me to my last set of points. How can a believer miss God when God's that big? I think we'd all agree, God's pretty big, is He not? Do we not believe this morning that God's all powerful? There's nothing that God can't do. But how can a believer live life from day to day and actually miss God speaking or God leading or God working? I mean, how do we live our life so much and go so many days and never notice that God was at work? I wonder this morning, how long has it been in your life since you've actually seen God do something great for you? Has it been a month? A year? Or years? How often have you lived your life and gone through the routines of your week and everything that we think is so important in life with our jobs and our work and everything we've got to do in a week's time? We get so consumed with that we go through life and we pass right by God and never noticed He was right there. How can that be? And there's a million things that we could say this morning. I jotted down a few. Number one, we're just too busy. We're just too busy. And I'd be the first one to raise my hand to say, I'm too busy. Would you not agree this morning that life has become very busy? Life's not like it was 20 years ago, 50 years ago. Life's busy. There's much to do, places to go, things to do. Our problem is, and let's just be frank and be very honest, we just don't have time for God. Am I right? We don't have time for God. I've got work to go to. I don't have time for God. I'm too busy with this, and I'm too busy with that, and I've got this to go to, and I've got to be here at this time. And when I look at my schedule, to be honest with you, I'm just too busy for God. Now, if we're going to be honest this morning, I think we would all agree that that's true. We're just too busy. Most Christians only give God 1 hour a week at best. How many, 168 hours in a week, I believe, something like that, and we give God 1 hour. because that's what we're supposed to do. Do you realize this morning that God wants more than 1 hour? God wants every hour. I think if we realized how much God wants this morning, it would shock us. He wants every hour. You know what He wants? He wants Monday morning. He wants Wednesday afternoon. He wants Thursdays. He wants Saturdays. He wants Sundays. Hey, God wants your life. The average Christian will walk into church and spend an hour on an average, at best, on a Sunday morning, and go for 1 hour, and that's the extent of Christianity for them for the week. And we wonder why we don't see God working in our life. And we wonder why it is that some folks seem to be experiencing a spiritual blessing in life, and we feel like we're so dry spiritually in life. I'll tell you why. You're just too busy. I'm too busy. We're too consumed with everything else going on in life. Another reason why I think that we just don't see God, another reason, we're just spiritually anemic. Now, we claim to be real spiritual people, but when it really comes down to it, I don't know how spiritual we really are, at least in my own life sometimes. We're so weak spiritually. It doesn't take much to derail us. To be honest with you, in many cases, Satan doesn't even have to really fight very hard. We're so weak spiritually. We're more full of the world than we are of God. Did you hear me this morning? We're so full of the world, there's just not much room for God left. I got too much to do. I mean, we got to realize that we are in the NFL playoff tonight, or in the next week. We got an important game tonight, find out who's going to get into the playoffs. And we wonder why our country is falling apart. You see, this morning, the reason that maybe only the wise men kind of saw the star that day, it's kind of like us today. We don't see God very much. Here's one. One of the reasons why I think we never see God much is because we're just too worldly. Oh, we don't want to admit it this morning. You see, but the world will drain the voice of God plumb out of your life. And when you fill your life full of the sin of this world and the world itself, it'll drain God completely out. We're so much like the world, no wonder we miss God working. No wonder I can't find God working in life. I'm too busy. I'm so spiritually weak. I don't even know if I would understand if I heard the voice of God speak plainly to me. I don't even know if I would understand what He's saying. This morning, I'm so worldly that, to be honest with you, I've got more of the world in me than I do of God. No wonder I can't see God. Here's one. Here's another good reason why we don't notice God working in our life. We don't even look for God in our life. We treat church, the average Christian this morning treats church like a funeral home. We come and we pay our respects and we leave. Is that not true often in our life? I've done my part. Sunday morning, check it off my list. Done that. Be back next week. You see, this morning, this is not a funeral home. This is a church. This is where the body of Christ assembles together. Why do we come? We come to meet together, to pray for one another, to sing the praises of God, to preach the Word of God. Why? So that we may go out in the world and do the Lord's will for our life. But listen, dear friend, we're never going to do God's will for our life if we don't even see God in life. We treat God on Sunday mornings like someone who's passed away at a funeral home. We pass by, we give a glance to the person that has deceased, we say a few nice little words, and we leave. I've got news for us this morning. God wants much more than that. we live life and never even look for God. He's there. You see, there were probably back in that day, there were probably some that denied that the star was even there. But I've got news for you, whether you believe it or not, the star was there. But why didn't I see it? It's a good question. So the question is this. On that day, or days, only three people see God at work. Only three. I don't know how many were present in the sight of that star on those days, but there were a lot. And then it applies, I believe, to us today with the question for each and every one of us. How long has it been since you've noticed God working in your life? I'm not saying what somebody else told you or what happened in somebody else's life. I'm talking about in your life. And if you cannot remember the last time, or if it's been a long time ago, then the next question is, why? What is it in your life that's preventing you from seeing God at work? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.